Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I got to tell you a neat story while you're turning there. Brother Arcola went down to Southern Virginia to go to this ACE school. He texted me on Tuesday morning, and he said where he was at, and he said, gave me the pastor's name, and he said, "You trained him." Ended up, it was one of the fellows I trained in Bible college that's now pastoring the church down there where he's at. And small world, amen. But anyhow, Ephesians chapter 2, let's start reading in verse number 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." We have been talking about the different titles, or I like using the term job description or job titles, of the devil. God says he does not want us ignorant of Satan's devices. Doesn't want us ignorant of who he is. Now everybody look at me. When I say different titles, I've used this before, but I'll use it again tonight. For instance, I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a pawpaw. I'm a son. I'm a nephew. I'm an uncle. I have many different titles. I'm the same person, but in each one of those roles, I play a different part. Does that make sense to everybody? Much like you do, you have many different roles that we all play. The devil is the same, and God uses many of those different titles or names for the devil throughout Scripture. If we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices, then we better know who he is. And tonight, I'm going to finish our study with what I believe is probably, in many ways, the most influential and the most powerful of all of the devil's titles. Look at verse 2 with me. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, watch this, according to the prince of the power of the air. There it is. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. Tonight may be the most revealing of all of the studies that we've had. Probably the most influential role the devil plays. And I want you to see tonight about this prince of the power of the air. Now, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say the prince of power. It says the prince of the power. So it's not his power. But he is the one that is guiding that power. He is the word prince there, and we'll get into this in a little while. That word prince there means ruler or magistrate. Now, what is this power of the air? First of all, we have to figure out what the air is there. And I'm not going to go into all of the deep Greek and everything else. Let me tell you what it means. The word air is a multifaceted word. It has many different applications. It is more than just sucking the air you breathe. It has every connotation of our atmosphere. I said this last Sunday morning. God gets blamed for a lot of things the devil does. God never intended for storms. He made the earth to water itself. Sin brought that. So the devil controls storms. Now, Jesus rebuked them, but he never started one. The only storm God ever brought was the Noahic flood. That was judgment. Then he said he would never do it again. So you go to southern West Virginia where they got flooded out this week. That wasn't God, that was the devil. Everybody, the insurance companies would call it an act of God. But it's an act of the devil, not God. So the control of the atmosphere somewhat falls under Satan's influence. Next, it also means, it literally means, in, I'm not going to transliterate it, but this is what it means. It means the breath that passes out by words. It is the spoken and the words and how they're transferred through the air. How many of you have ever heard the term about radio and TV, the radio waves, the airwaves? That's exactly what it's talking about. You have to understand something. When it's talking about the airwaves, that is the same Greek word as the prince of the power of the air. So the communication that flies through the air, whether it be radio, TV, satellite, et cetera, all of that is under the control of the devil. Now watch this. That's the news media. That's Hollywood. That's written words, whether it be written in your cell phone or in a book. It crosses through the air. It's also spoken words. Now, listen to me very carefully here. It also means the power spoken in written words. I'm talking about social media, texts, emails, etc., etc. Now, listen to this statement. And before you get too awful upset, let me get you real mad. Words have power. I know your mama taught you, my mama taught me, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt me. You have never been hurt till you've been hurt by words. I have lived my entire adult life and much of my teen life being attacked for standing for God. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but I will say this. Words have power. Isn't it amazing? The media can find somebody who's accused of something, and before there's ever a trial, they're found guilty. This person has done this. When they're found innocent, there's not a whole lot written about the fact that they were innocent. They don't want to bring forth how the people that accused them were false accusers. You say, why? Because of the prince of the power of the air. Do you realize how negative our society is? Pick up a newspaper from the 1950s or the 1960s and read it. You'd be shocked at what was news back then. They had sections in the newspaper, birth section, wedding announcements, wedding anniversaries. And they would interview everybody in pictures and stuff. They were talking about good deeds that were done. I have a couple news articles in my office about my grandfather and my great uncle building guns and some of the historical things that they had found and were trying to replicate. That was big news. That was in the Canton Repository. And 50 years later, I still have the articles, or longer, probably 60 or 70 years. Shoot, you could buy tires for $12 back then. How do you know? It's on the back of the article. That's how I know. Now, that tells you how long ago it really was. Now, wait a second here. That's mounted and balanced, by the way. That wasn't just the price of the tire. That was the whole deal. Now, I say that to say this. We don't realize how negative our words are today. we have allowed our public school mediums to teach something called critical thinking. Say, what is that satanic thinking? My Bible says in Philippians 4, My brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Didn't say anything about being negative. And yet we feast on negative. We fill our brains with negative. Worst thing you can do is watch the news and go to bed. No wonder you can't sleep at night. Worst thing to do is get up and watch the news. That'll give you a bad day all day long. You say, why? Because we fill our brain with negative before we go to bed, when we get up. Now, notice verse number 2 again. Where in time past you walked according, watch this, to the course of this world. That means the worldly pathways, the worldly philosophies. We are inundated with humanism. We are inundated with communism. To think the mayor of New York City is a communist. And he stepped in it this week when he said he was going to throw Netanyahu in jail. People are starting to see he's starting to flaunt power that's not his to flaunt. And had to get up and publicly denounce what he said because he was about to face jail time himself. You say, what do you mean? Do you realize he just committed a federal offense? That statement was a potential federal offense. You say, well, he has the right. No, he doesn't. No mayor has supersession over federal and world powers. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. The world is that which dictates what is normal. Do you know what the world calls normal? I had somebody not too awful long ago, they were looking at me, and they were found out I was a preacher. They said, oh, there's something wrong with you. And I'm thinking, okay, you look like you got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. You rolled over in the paint factory and it got in your hair and all over you. And you think, and I know which bathroom to use, and you think I'm not normal? Come on now. We have no idea how much we have allowed the influence of the world to dictate. And God's talking about here the course of this world. We have to work in the world. I get it. There are some things you have to put up with in stomach. I get it. Took my wife to lunch yesterday for our weekly date. And we have to put up with the same music you put up with wherever you have to eat. And I'm thinking, no wonder people go nuts. This stuff would drive you head nuts. And it wasn't at a trashy place, but you still got to put up with it. You can't even pump gas without raunchy music going on. Why in the world they got to play that stuff at a gas pump? But I want you to notice Satan, look at verse 2 again. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Look at me. God calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. He's the one that word prince means magistrate, judge, ruler, has everything to do with leadership. A prince is next in line for the kingship. By the way, why is it just prince and not king? Because he was one of the archangels. They were considered princes in heaven. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. So you have to understand that he was keeping his rank here. God was giving him the rank of prince here. But he's controlling the airwaves. He's controlling those things, and he has control over those powers. May I say it this way? The devil controls the news media. That's obvious. The devil controls Hollywood. That's obvious. The devil controls most of the music in our world today. The Taylor Swifts, all the country music and everything else. Say, oh, she's just so wonderful, folks. Anyway, I won't go down that road tonight. I'm even going to go so far as to say this. The prince of the power of the air also controls our educational systems. Public education is controlled by the devil. You say, preacher, are you against public education? Yep. Under very, 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 very minimal terms do I even tolerate it. Did you have to pay your property tax this year and get your tax bills? Did you notice that between 78 and 82% of it went right back to the public school system? And you get nothing for it. And everybody voting the levies in just doubled your tax because it's more than what your tax was. And whether you voted for it or not, you got to pay it. Whether you got kids in school or not, you got to pay it. That's like paying gas tax when you didn't run a car. You see, the education and propaganda, and by the way, the devil controls these. He's a master of it. So the prince of the power of the air, that's what you've got to understand. That air is all of those, and I'm going to probably say this too many times, but social media is no better with this. I'm not saying all of it is bad, but most of it is so unregulated that you can't believe much of it. Now, let me jump into the rest of it. This power of the air is more than you think, though. I defined what it was, but it's far deeper than that. The word power is the word government. It means court. It means authority, potentate, jurisdiction, liberty. America's liberties are being taken left and right. If we're not careful, we're traveling down a road we'll never return from. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Liberals are so stupid. We have let people, the reason they want to wipe history away is because they want to be the oppressor. They don't want you to know from whence you came. Public education says America was founded by a bunch of dirty old white men that wore white wigs. Do you know how old Thomas Jefferson was and James Madison when they wrote the Constitution? Thomas Jefferson was 33. James Madison was 35, I believe. Fifty-six men signed for that Constitution. Not a one of them died a natural death. Many of them lost their fortunes because of signing that. Many of them had their wives and their children raped and killed because of that. But we've wiped that away from history. Do you know how old Ben Franklin was when the Declaration of Independence was signed? 40. Do you know how old George Washington was when he was fighting in the Revolutionary War? Barely 50 years old. Became president in his early 60s. Be careful that you don't listen to what they're telling you. Go back and study real history. Don't read it written by modernists. Go back and read the old stuff. And by the way, I said this last week, I'll say it again. The only Bible they knew was that one right there. We didn't have all the perversions of the Bible. When they talked about our Creator and the deity and all those things, it was in reference to God. Notice it's always capitalized. I'm just going to say one more thing here because it really bothers me. The newer Bibles are changing the spelling of Savior. Anywhere in the Bible, in reference to Jesus as Savior, it's S-A-V-I-O-U-R. It's not an old English spelling. S-A-V-I-O-R means anybody. The folks that worked on Brother Randy, he could say they were his saviors. S-A-V-I-O-R-S. Not S-A-V-I-O-U-R. You look through your Bible and it's in referring to Jesus and it's I-O-R, it's wrong. They're taking the deity away from Jesus. Just so you know. That's pet peeve. I just thought I'd throw it out there. But this word power, it has to do with governments. And I'm going to show you this in a second here. This power is government or legal power. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If we just take God at his own word and just read his words, we find out what he means. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We don't need Matthew Henry. We don't need commentaries. We don't need Chucky Swindoll and Charles Stanley and their wrong Bibles. We just need the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and then the what? Power of his might. Watch this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of whom? Okay, now look at me. He's saying there's powers, and there's a power that we can put on to withstand him. Then he says, it's the devil. Watch the next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not found in people. Watch this. But against principalities. Guess what those are? Principalities are government. It's what you would call a township or a village. Against powers. That's that evil stuff. Governments. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now look at me. God says there's several things here that are powers. And he says we're not wrestling against people, but against principalities, powers, governments, China, Russia, all the evil powers, Iran. Or I should say they're running instead of Iran. Against the rulers of the darkness. Notice the word rulers there. The rulers of the darkness of this world. That's your news media. That's Hollywood. That's the prince and power of the air, the powers of the air. And spiritual wickedness in high places. Now look at me for a second here. The devil is the one involved in world governments. Are you saying everybody in government is bad? No. But I will say this, it's harder to keep it right. Because power perverts people. And I'll get into that in a minute here. The devil is at work with power. Now, everybody listen to this next statement very carefully here. The devil is at work. The Bible talks about here spiritual wickedness in high places. That term there is in reference to money and wealth. Everybody look at me for just a moment here. There is nothing sinful about having money or even having a lot of money. But the love of money is the root of all evil. If all you do is live for money and things, you are succumbing to the prince and power of the air. If all you do is live for more money and more things, you're living for the greed of the devil and self-satisfaction. Again, there's nothing wrong with having money or having things. But when it gets in the way of obeying God, it's wrong. Did you know there's something necessary in our economy called big business? Well, I don't think it's right for somebody to make so much money. Then do me a favor. If you don't think it's so right, then you go start your own business and show us how to do it without making money. Where is it? Well, it's not equality. Show me in the Constitution where it says that we're all supposed to make the same. That's called communism. That's a government telling you that you're not somebody. That's called the caste system of India and Eastern nations, where you can't rise out of a certain work level. You have to be born, what you're born into, that's what you have to be. Did you know communism is a parasite? It has to have capitalism to survive. Socialism has never worked. Never. You show me any communist country, I'll show you a poor country. Cuba, Russia, China. Now, the Chinese government is wealthy, but the people are poor. You go to any of these communist African countries, anywhere in the world, you have communism, I'll show you poverty. We have created a society that says these big CEOs with big money are evil people. I'm not saying they're all born again, saved, godly Christians. But just because they have money does not make them evil. I know a lot of drug dealers that make a lot of money. Hello? I don't know them personally, but I know of them. That didn't come out quite like I planned it to come out. At least I know you're listening. If you listen to the good stuff, maybe we'll be in good shape. Did you know that not everybody that has a lot of money is a bad person? You know the name Russell Anderson. Dr. Anderson made tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars in his lifetime. But Dr. Anderson gave away over $50 million in his life to the work of God. Probably, listen to this next statement. There will probably be more people in heaven because of Russ Anderson than any human that's ever lived on the face of the earth. There's only been four preachers in world history that have seen 1 million people get saved in their ministry. One of which had right at 2 million saved, which was Brother Hiles. Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon are the others. Listen to this next statement. Tens and tens of millions of people have been saved because of the influence of Russell Anderson. And he wasn't a preacher. He's just a businessman. You think he was evil because he made a lot of money? I've sat down with men that have made billions. One of the men that gave money towards the building of this church, Stuart McMillan, is a billionaire. Task Force Tips Innovations is now being produced, and products and companies are built in five different countries or continents in the world. I remember when its headquarters was the only business in Valparaiso, Indiana. It expanded and expanded and expanded. They now have shops all over the world and are making billions and billions of dollars. Stuart McMillan gave over $160,000 to the building of this building without being asked. I wouldn't say that's an evil person, would you? I also know some of the other things that he does with his money. He has several different training academies that he's built all over America and different countries with his own money to train firefighters to keep them safe. just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're bad. Everybody doing all right? But let me show you what happens. Turn to Ecclesiastes. That's right after the book of Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now I want you to notice what God says. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a what? Defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, I want you to know something. God says here that money is a defense. It's a power. If you have a football team that has a good defense, they're a powerful football team. God says money is to be defensive, not offensive. Too many Christians want to make money offensively. It's there to protect and to guard. It's not there to move forward with. We use money opposite of what God says. It's to be there as a defense, not there as offense. Because money has power. Listen to this. People of great wealth tend to allow the devil to use that power to control them. If money is a defense, which means it's power, you can get addicted to the power more than the money. Let me use a few names. And I'm not saying that all these people, everybody look at me, I'm not saying all these people are bad, evil people. A couple of them I know are. Let's take Bill Gates. Personally, I think he's evil. If there was a $100 bill on the ground that he dropped out of his pocket, it would cost Bill Gates more money to stop and pick it up than it would to keep walking. That's how much he's worth. The time it would take him to stop and pick it up would cost him more than had he just kept walking. Now, what you don't understand is part of COVID and the mass stupidity that followed that was due to Bill Gates. He said, we need population control in our world today, and we need to do it through injections, vaccinations. And you're finding out everything that I said 5-6 years ago is true. There are a lot of young couples unable to have children because they were vaccinated. Hello. It wasn't an accident. I'm not saying Bill Gates is the second coming of Satan. But he's allowed that money to become power, and he's addicted to the power that goes with it. Another name, this person is evil, a man named George Soros.
Yes, sir.
George Soros is addicted to the power that his money gives him. All these protesters all over the country, they're paid for by George Soros. They travel the country getting money to go protest. D.C., January 6th, that was all paid for by George Soros. Many of the riots are started and paid for by George Soros. I'm going to give you another name. I don't know if this person's evil or not. I can tell you the jury's still out on it. Elon Musk. It's not that I don't trust him because of how much money he has. I just don't know enough about him. But I do know this. He's gaining a lot of world power. He's a bit weird. He's got about 50 kids with umpteen different people because he believes in spreading his own genetics to make the world a better place. That right there scares me. What he thinks of himself. I think the last count I heard that he had like 45 or 46 children. And I don't know how many different people involved with that. And he thinks because he's so smart and so wealthy that he ought to have more children to make the world that much better. God says not to think of yourself so highly. Money does not corrupt them. The power of the money is what corrupts these people. Let me say that again. Money does not corrupt people. The power that money brings corrupts people. Many of you say, if I just had this much money, all my problems would be over. No, they wouldn't. Proven fact. 95% of people that win the lottery are bankrupt within 3 years. Number one, gambling's wrong. Number two, wealth gotten that way is never good. We have to be careful not to let money be offensive. It's got to be defensive. It's there as a protection, not there to move forward with. I must hurry. Number three. Go back to Ephesians 2. This one's going to twist the old devil's whiskers here. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past... you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Watch this. The spirit, circle that word spirit. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Everybody look at me. The devil is a spirit that works to get people to disobey. And I want you to notice it's a spirit, not a person. Remember the verse that says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you know the devil is a spirit also? Ephesians 6 talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. Now watch this very carefully here. He is a spirit. He is a spirit that brings disobedience. Protesters, marches, anti this, anti that. Let's kill the cops. Let's get rid of the police. You can go back to the rebellion of the 60s and the 70s about Vietnam. Protesting right things to do. Say, do you think that war was the right? That's not my call. But I know this. I've got a son right now in the Air Force. I know that less than 2 years ago, the very base that was bombed in Jordan, he was at. He stood guard where that 19-year-old girl was killed, standing her post. He has stood that post. That raises the hair on your neck a little bit as a parent. He texted me, he said, Dad, my buddy just got out of there Monday and they got bombed Friday. Whew. As a parent, I thank God it wasn't my son. But as a parent, I know the fear that those young people's parents are going through right now that they feared every day while their children were there. And their worst fear came true. Everybody doing okay? This spirit of rebellion. I'm going to say it this way. A spirit of fear. Too many people live with a spirit of fear. My Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You talk about people that are delusional. Show me somebody that's afraid of everything. Say, preacher, are you worried about people? No, I don't worry about anything. I have plans in place. We have things set up to protect. But I don't live wondering who's going to cross that. I don't go home and let me go into the house first and make sure nobody's there. I don't live that way. No, I send my daughter. They're afraid of everybody, amen? Now, wait a second. I don't live in fear that way. Say, preacher, are you always on guard when you're out in public? I'm never on guard. Yes, sir. I'm never on guard. Can I tell you why? Because I don't have a spirit of fear. The devil's the one that brings the spirit of fear, not God. Now watch this. The devil is giving a spirit to confuse people. The alphabet soup crowd. Well, you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl yet. Let me ask you a question. You go to the store to buy a puppy. You say, I want a girl dog. What do they do? That one's a girl. That one's a boy. Plumbing tells the story, folks. They don't lift the leg on a dog and it says, well, I don't want to be that. I want to be something else. Folks, and people believe this mess. That's what's really stupid. That spirit of disobedience. He is the spirit of public education, training young people to hate America, to hate their parents, and to hate God. That's the spirit of the devil. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you the difference between the spirit of the children of disobedience and what God says. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children. Oh, that's God speaking. Who are his children?
Christians.
These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Watch this. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we what? Keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the devil. So God says we know him by keeping his commandments. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I've got to hurry here. I'll skip down to verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we what? Keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Sounds like the course of this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now I want you to notice something. God says here, we love him and we know him because we keep his commandments. We obey what the Bible says. Did you know when a child disobeys, they're following the devil and not God? My children used to hate this part of being punished. I'll watch my daughter groan in a moment here. The talk before was worse than the punishment. Did I make you disobey? No. Who disobeyed? I did. Well, do you hate mommy? No. Do you hate daddy? No. Yes, you do, because you disobeyed. If you loved us, you'd obey. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I love you, but I love God more. And I'm not going to disobey God because you disobeyed. So bend over. Here it comes. You say, preacher, you didn't do that. Yeah, I did. Can I tell you why? You got to put the burden back on them. They need to see that disobedience is satanic. Obedience is godly. Now, folks, listen to me. The devil is the spirit of disobedience. I believe in peer pressure. Peer pressure to do right, not peer pressure to do wrong. I'm glad at our school it's not who can get away with the most, it's who's going to obey the most. It ought to be a spirit of obedience, not a spirit of disobedience. Everybody doing all right? We have to understand that the devil is a liar. and there is no truth in him. That's what 1 John 5 and 1 John 2 talked about. That those are those that hate God. Disobedience is going against the commandments of God. By the way, the devil's a liar and the father of no truth. Anyone or anything that takes you away from truth is the spirit of the devil. That means wrong Bibles. That means wrong education. That means wrong philosophies. You name it. If it takes you away from truth and away from the Bible, it is of the devil. I don't care if it has a Christian name attached to it, like the Catholic Church. Religion is a tool of the devil. False Bibles are a tool of the devil. Public education is based on lies and theories and evil, not truth. Anywhere, even in a home, a spirit of disobedience is satanic. By the way, this is why Christian young people need to learn how to obey. And that obedience is not a bad thing, it's a godly thing. It's a safe thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? Because it'll make you live longer upon the face of the earth. Say why? Because you're not apt to do stupid stuff that somebody that disobeys does. I got to quit. We as Christians need to be aware of the power the devil has over the air. The prince of the power of the air. Another name for the devil. Probably his most influential name. What we see in the news, Hollywood, video games, social media, etc., governments, the evil money, you name it. All of that is the prince of the power of the air. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's so much more that could be said. Maybe we need to get a better view of what we're supposed to do. Let's just decide we're not going to have a spirit of disobedience, but a spirit of obedience to the commandments of God, which is the words of God.